Vince, there have been no episodes of your podcast.
Hello.
Oh, look at this weather. It's podcasting season.
I'm Will Thomas. Good to have you with us.
Ben Strauss.
Ben Strauss.
Ben Strauss.
Vince Agard.
The forefathers of the podcasting movement.
What?
You know, they're not unicorns.
I already listened to one of these, and it was a lot of like, bah, bah, bah,
bah. Well, you all are just really tickled by that, aren't you?
We'll do it live.
Do you think that might be really boring?
We'll do it live! Fuck it!
What are you doing, baby?
This is
Ben and Vince.
Anyway, let's start the
show.
So,
welcome.
Yeah. It's the Ben and Vince show. We're back, rounding out this wonderful year that we've been having with another podcast.
2025.
Podcast.
Crazy one.
Podcast 1, 2, 3. How has your 2025 been?
Not good, not terrible. Well, I mean, we talked last time about some stuff. You know, I still don't live in my house right now, if you're following along.
The renovations, that last 2%, you know, takes a long time.
Yeah, that's right. Especially when you fire the guy that you were working with.
Wait, did you actually do that?
Yeah. Well,
I thought you liked the guy.
Like, is that true?
You said he was fine. You said it was the subcontractors that was the problem or something.
Yeah, well, not true.
Uh-oh.
I mean, yeah. You know, it goes all the way to the top, you know.
Wow. Okay.
As usual.
Okay.
Anyway, so, you know, we almost passed a final inspection today. If not for this guy and another guy just getting in a stupid argument about paying each other. So, you know. But I think we figured that out.
Okay.
You know, I had to drive to Fairfax, but that's okay.
Why do you have to drive to Fairfax?
Anyway. To make sure that one guy handed another guy a check.
Jesus Christ.
So that we could all be on the same page.
Wow. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, I know. It's like, why should I ever in my life be driving to Fairfax, you know?
Yeah, having to go to Virginia in itself is bad enough.
Well, I used to drive there every weekday.
I know. Can you imagine?
I know. What a bad state.
You know, everybody says it's Maryland drivers that are the problem. I think it's everyone else that's the problem.
Yeah. Well, do people in like Pennsylvania say that Maryland drivers have a problem?
I don't know. I mean, it probably is Maryland drivers who are the problem. They're pretty bad. I'm not going to lie.
What do you think is bad about them?
Well, it's like very like aggressively bad. Like, they're bad at speed. There's a lot of, like, zooming around and doing stuff. That,
yeah.
It's like, this is the difference between, like, Maryland drivers and Massachusetts drivers. Like, Massachusetts drivers, okay. The roads are all confusing. You know, it's like, fuck you if you haven't, if you don't live here and you don't know, like, where you're supposed to go or whatever. Mm. And, like, nobody knows how to drive. So people will just do wild shit because they don't know, like, oh, you can't make a left turn on red out of the right lane. Like, there's no sign that says you can't do that. You know, Maryland drivers know the rules and just willfully disregard them because it's convenient to do so.
Okay, I don't know that that's worse.
I'm not saying one is worse. I'm just saying they're bad in different ways.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that sounds right. That's like a pretty good description of Maryland. I mean, I feel like, you know, as always, I think it's a minority of people who are a problem.
Let's not be racist.
Yeah, I won't say which one. but yeah, no, I mean, like, most people on the road are just like fine, but then there's a sizable number of people who are like, you know, zooming up on you for no reason or
And the other thing is, like, it's in DC where people are always complaining about the Maryland drivers are all coming from the suburbs and they don't know how to drive in the city. They treat the city like it's the suburbs and you gotta slow down, watch out for you know, pedestrians and shit.
Oh, well, yeah, no, I mean, people in DC are aggressive too, but I feel like there's an understanding of how it works, and it does work, you know.
I saw a picture today there was a Maryland driver with a BMW that they had purchased in Tyson's Corner, and they were driving in DC and managed to crash into a forklift.
I can't imagine that they, you know, got cut off unexpectedly by that vehicle.
The fork things like went like sliced through their bumper. It's kind of funny.
Oh my god. Well, I thought you were gonna say through their, you know, chest or something.
No. Not quite.
Yeah, like driving in DC is like not so bad once you get the hang of it.
It's fine. Yeah, no, it's fine. Yeah. I mean, there's traffic. You should just, you know, take Metro.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've never driven a Metro, so I don't know how.
Oh, that would be fun. Goes. Actually, yeah. I think, did they go back to doing the automatic trains, or is that still not?
Right.
It's only been like 15 years.
I don't know, yeah. Yeah. Do you think they fixed that bug or what?
It was taking a very long time. But I think it would be more fun to drive them if they didn't fix the bug. Because if they fix the bug, then it's literally just like push the button to close the doors and wait for the train to go to the next station by itself.
Right. But like pay attention if you need to brake or something unexpectedly.
Sure.
Yeah, right. That sounds pretty boring.
But yeah, you get to make announcements, which is kind of like having a podcast.
I was just gonna say that, kind of like a broadcast. But I mean but even that, I feel like the newer cars they have the robot doing that, right?
This is a 7000
series train.
But it's
like a very poor quality one. Yeah, I mean, you'd expect, you know, when did they get those new trains? Like 2018?
I don't know. You tell me.
Something like that. Yeah, whatever. You know, in the last few years, the quality of the robot is pretty bad. You know, it sounds like, you know, 2002 era, like, you know, Microsoft SAM or whatever. I mean,
I don't know what that is.
Quite that bad, but like, you know, whatever. The guy who would talk to you, you know, Bill Gates.
Clippy?
That's what I'm talking about. Not Clippy. You could have a robot talk to you on Windows.
That doesn't sound familiar to me. That doesn't sound like anything to me.
Well, looks like you never Looks like you never played the Windows video game.
I'm sorry, what?
You know, for those of us who didn't have video games, you know, there was Word Art and...
I mean, we had pinball. There was pinball and Minesweeper and Solitaire, Spider Solitaire.
But there was also clicking around, just, you know, seeing what random buttons would do.
So was that like a accessibility feature that you turned on?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's probably what I'm thinking what it was, yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, yeah, I guess there's just no replacement for the human touch. You know, it's one of those problems, like self-driving car, like they've solved it 90% of the way, but like the difference between the 90% and the 10%, it's like the uncanny valley or whatever.
The uncanny valley of driving. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I was going to say, I've never driven in New York that much. That seems like pretty bad. Too many pedestrians, I guess.
Driving in Boston's pretty good.
There's no, I thought you just said everyone. There's no rules.
You know, you can't, like, in most neighborhoods, you're never going to get a ticket. So it's just like, you know, run red lights, you know, just do all kinds of crazy shit. Just don't hit anybody. And, you know, but sometimes people run into each other. Lots of honking.
I was going to ask.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's, you know, in other countries, I think it's usually more like that.
Oh.
Like, there's not really rules so much.
Oh, yeah. Boston's not that bad. People follow, like, the lines on the road, at least.
Okay, yeah.
But there's just certain stuff. Like, they do the Pittsburgh left there.
What's that?
That's where, like, when you're stopped at a red light and, like, the first car in line is turning left and then the light turns green, instead of like waiting for the oncoming cars to pass, they just go.
Right.
And that's like accepted. Yeah, they got that like one thing.
I see. You got that 0.8 seconds before the other cars would reach you.
Right.
So yeah, it's enough of a window. Yeah, I don't love that maneuver.
The trains in Boston all use this. They have a pretty good voice, but it's not like a robot voice. It's like they just had this one guy record all the every possible like station or whatever, like every possible announcement back in like 2005.
But when they build a new station,
they got to get that guy.
When they build a new station, do they have to?
They got to get that one guy to come back.
But yeah, I mean, like, what if he dies?
I don't know. He's like it's interesting. We might have talked about him before. He's just like some guy that worked at the transit authority, not even as like a thing. You know, he never did like voice acting, but then like his voice was so good that he like went and got a bunch of work off of it.
Oh my God. That's great. I hope he didn't sell out, you know, like start doing like local Dunkin' Donuts commercials. That's a Boston reference.
Yes, it is.
yeah. You know, arriving now at, you know, your 27th Street Dunkin'.
Yeah.
Next stop, flavor.
That would be pretty good, actually. You should do that.
Right. Yeah. Well, I have experience writing fast food advertisements.
That's right.
What was I going to say? Just, you know, like having this one guy do all the lines. I mean, this is like how all the, you know, critical national security software is written in like COBOL or ADA or whatever. And now, you know, no one knows how to do that anymore. And if there's ever like a crisis, we need to find all these people who retired like 25 years ago.
Coming out of retirement for one last job.
Yeah, recording the new station name on the orange line, whatever they use.
Yeah, no, that did happen. Like they had to bring him back to record some new stuff like a year or two ago. I forget why.
Can you hear the difference? Like, does he sound older?
I don't know. He's got a good voice though.
Hmm.
Anyway, how was your holiday?
Oh yeah, that's good. Joel got a lot of presents.
Nice. What was his favorite?
Yeah, I think his favorite was this little guitar thing, or like ukulele thing. He's just like, is really it like excited about that?
An actual string instrument, or like one of these electronic things where you hit a button and it makes a sound?
Right. He had a violin like that, where you just like hit a button, or you can like kind of play the strings, but then it just like plays something pre-recorded. This guitar is like an actual stringed instrument, but I mean, it's not like real instrument quality. Like,
sure,
it gets out of tune like immediately.
he doesn't,
but
notice.
You know, right. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, he almost got that F chord. But yeah, he loved that. Someone got him a vacuum that looks just like the real vacuum. He loves vacuums and cleaning, like, and brooms. So he was pretty into that too.
Nice.
Yeah. You get anything good?
Got a big wheel of cheese.
Yeah. Prevel?
No, Manchego.
Yeah. Well, so you know how I feel about
things.
You know how I feel about delicious cheeses.
Do you love to eat them?
Yeah. I still think about that line.
It's pretty good.
Pretty often.
I think it's pronounced Edom, but you know what? I didn't know that at the time.
Whatever. Yeah. Oh, it's actually pronounced Shez, you know, right. Whatever.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Well, how's your 2020? How are you summing it up now at the end of the year?
Oh, I mean, how would I sum it up? Like in one word?
As many as you need.
Oh. I mean, This is a good debate. I was listening to the radio the other day, and they were debating whether or not it was a good year. And like, I think it's pretty well like accepted that it was a bad year, right?
Right.
But like, you know, we made the most of it.
Right? Mm-hmm.
So.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Let me ask you something. So on your holiday card, thank you for the card, by the way.
No, you're welcome, and to all the listeners too. I know you guys all should have gotten one in the mail.
I assume it was a Kwanzaa card because I got it on the 27th. But
that's our mail system at work. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, don't mine must have got lost in the mail if you haven't got it yet.
Yeah. Right.
Anyway, what's going on the back there? Is that your Halloween costume?
Yeah.
What?
Can you tell what it is?
Is it like Curious George or something? I couldn't tell.
Our across the street neighbor in the neighborhood where we actually live most of the time. She's like probably, what is she, like 10 years old, something like that. She recognized it immediately, like, and even knew the character's name, and we were just like shocked.
Okay, so first of all, I don't have it in front of me, so let me try to remember it from memory. If I remember, Joel's wearing some sort of a yellow outfit, coat or something.
Wrong. No.
Diane has like some kind of a wrap on her head. And then you are like dressed like a gorilla wearing like some sort of helmet. So that's where I got Curious George from.
You're just kind of like putting together all the elements that you can see with your eyes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the
medium. And seeing what they add up to.
Of the postcard.
Yeah, you might be like Daredevil. I don't know. So you're off on one.
Joel's switched. Not wearing a yellow jacket. Diane's wearing a yellow jacket, and a wrap headgear of some sort.
Yeah, to be specific, a yellow rain jacket.
Isn't that what Curious George wears?
Curious George doesn't wear clothes.
Who wears the yellow jacket in Curious George?
The man, like the name of the character is literally the man with the yellow hat.
Doesn't somebody wear a jacket?
Well, he also wears a jacket.
Is it yellow? Like somebody's wearing a yellow raincoat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's all yellow.
Okay. All right.
Curious George is a monkey.
So you were the monkey. And she's the man. And what was Joel wearing?
Right. So I don't know if you're trying to figure out the alternate reality version of the card where we are dressed as various aspects of Curious George. Like a deconstructed Curious George, I guess.
Great so costume
if you,
idea,
if you want to interpret it that way. Yeah, not bad. let me give you some more detail. I mean, you're never gonna, well, okay. So in the card, I believe Joel's wearing you can see he's wearing like a dress up vest, you know, like a formal vest.
And wait, like in the Halloween part or the Christmas part?
The Halloween part.
Oh, okay.
The Christmas part is not a costume.
No, he's just wearing like a nice sweater.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if that's what you meant by vest.
Right. When you say it out loud, it definitely makes sense. The evidence has been presented in front of me right now, so I don't even have to go from memory at this point. But I believe my memory was correct. So he's wearing a formal vest and like a, you know, white dress shirt and a tie and a fedora hat. And I don't know if you remember that there's an umbrella over his head.
Wait, are these the characters from that Wes Anderson American Express commercial? Francois!
Wow.
Why would I put a hat on?
Why would I put a hat on? My best friend just died.
Yeah.
But what's his line like? I'm telling you, lose the... What does he say? I don't remember. Anyway,
there's something about I want a 357 with a bayonet.
Yeah. I don't see why not. This is the girl, the son of the daughter of the producer. She said she really wanted to meet you. Oh, are you a big fan? Try. Anyway, I wish it was that. Probably next year I'll do that. Someone will have to be the exploding car.
Right. But yeah, wasn't there a guy with a fedora and then a guy wearing like a turban?
Yeah, that guy with the turban seems to be in a lot of his movies. All right. I mean, I like that. So number one, deconstructing Curious George. Number two, the Wes Anderson American Express commercial.
Yeah, that'll...
let's see.
That'll resonate with a lot of people,
Yeah. Anyone who went to... what was it?
The Majestic?
Regal Theaters? Yeah. Maybe they weren't owned by Regal yet.
Consolidated Theaters.
Right. Anyone who went to that cinema in the mid-2000s should know exactly what we're talking about. I mean, it was on TV, too. Anyway. I'm just trying to give you some more clues to see if you can come up with the right answer. I mean, I kind of doubt you will, but I'll just keep giving you hints. Okay. yeah, the umbrella. I'll say the umbrella is important. And then, yeah, we got, you're pretty much right on about Diane. I don't think there's much more to add there. Well, I'll say a missing element of Jill's costume that is not pictured is like a sport, you know, like a sports jacket, like a blazer.
So he's just a formally dressed guy with an umbrella.
Yeah, which actually I feel like is a pretty big hint.
Is it the assassination of Franz Ferdinand?
What is that? Oh, you mean like the historical event?
Yeah. Wasn't there the umbrella with like the poison thing in it? It was like an umbrella gun?
Really?
Am I missing up two things?
That sounds like, you know, like a fan fiction.
No, that was a thing.
It wasn't just like a gun?
I know there was like a whole thing and they like fucked up their plan, and then like there was a whole like plan thing, and then like the guy, the Archduke, his parade got like rerouted or something, and so like they couldn't assassinate him, and then their plan fell apart, and then like one of the assassins just happened to be like walking down the street and saw him, and he's like, oh, I'll shoot you now.
I'll just use my poison umbrella gun.
Well, okay, maybe that wasn't that thing. I know there was like multiple assassins, and like maybe that, but like there was definitely somebody like 100 years ago who got assassinated by an umbrella gun that had like a poison pellet in it.
Jeez, elaborate. So yeah, I guess our Halloween costume was not themed around assassinations.
Okay.
But you know, we can put that on the list too.
Okay, here, hold on.
Anyway,
here we go. A Bulgarian umbrella is an umbrella with a hidden pneumatic mechanism which injects a small poisonous pellet containing ricin.
Jeez.
Such an umbrella was used and named for the assassination of Bulgarian dissident writer Georgi Markov on September 7th, 1978. So I was only off by 65 years.
Not bad. That's very recent.
On Waterloo Bridge in London. The KGB did it.
So interesting that the weapon is named for the victim, not the...
Well, it's really named for the place where it happened. It was the Bulgarian Secret Service that did the assassination with the help of the KGB.
Oh, I thought you just said it was the KGB.
Well, the KGB helped them do it. And then they tried to assassinate another dude later that same year, but they failed in Paris with the same method.
I mean, it doesn't sound like a super reliable method.
The 70s was crazy time for assassinations, I feel like. There was just people getting, like, blown up and poisoned. And, like, I guess there's, like, what was that Russian guy that they tried to poison recently?
Like,
London?
Last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you hear that, like, he was like at a bar and the bartender was like, you know, was compromised and made him some cocktail. And then the only reason he didn't die is because he like hated the cocktail and was like, no, thanks. I don't want to. He took one sip and he was.
Oh my God. Oh my God. But they should have done their research.
Yeah. He like ordered, you know? I forget what it was. He like ordered something and the bartender's like, no, we're out of that. Can I make you this other thing instead? He's like, well, I don't like those, but okay. And then he takes one sip. He's like, no, this sucks.
No, this tastes like poison. holy shit. I mean, like that should have been in the dossier, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe, especially I don't know if it was that he didn't like that type of cocktail or just that particular one didn't taste good, probably because it was full of poison.
I mean, that would also seem to be a flaw in the plan.
Right.
Dang. You know, you think of the KGB as being so effective.
Well, it's not the KGB anymore, right? It's like the, I don't know, FSB? Yeah. Is that a thing? I don't know.
No, I don't know.
Is that just their FBI?
Right.
Oh, I haven't watched the Bourne movies in a while.
Wow, that's pretty crazy. I didn't know that part of it.
So you were not dressed up as KGB agents.
Or victims thereof. Yeah, that's right. You're right. I guess I'll move on to my part of it.
Yeah, what the hell is going on here?
I'm dressed in a all black outfit.
But you got some sort of like a headlamp or something.
Yeah, there's a globe, a transparent globe shaped object on the top of my head with a light inside of it.
Like a fishbowl.
Yes, it was the prop was a fishbowl. I mean, like the implementation, the costume implementation of this was a fishbowl.
Right.
That's all I'm going to describe about me. So, okay.
So are you supposed to be a streetlight or like a...
Yeah, you got it.
Oh, wow. Oh, so you're like Joel's like a old-timey detective who's leaning against the lamppost. Yeah,
very close.
Flipping a quarter and, looking for a dame.
Smoking a cigar.
Yeah.
Very close. I would say old-timey is right, and interacting with the lamppost is right.
Oh, wow.
And you may or may not be imagining in your vision that it's raining heavily.
That's right.
But I'll say that would be right. Yeah. So that detail is also right. So is that
So Sin City? Is that why the 10-year-old girl knew it?
I part of the information here is that I was very surprised that she knew it. Her being a 10-year-old girl.
Dick Tracy? Is it Dick Tracy?
I mean, you're in a certain genre here, which I feel like is not right. but the time frame is right. I was going to say, it's a movie. It is a movie.
It's a movie.
Yeah. I will say Diane's part of it does not really feature in the recognizably most famous scene or image.
Is it like Gone with the Wind or something?
That, yeah.
I know. Little lamppost
in Gone with the Wind. it's not Gone with the Wind. You're right. You know, again, in what you were imagining, like a city. That's right. Is it
Andy Capp?
I guess also still close. You might just not know it. You know.
Wait. There's a city. Is it A Tale of Two Cities, or there's only one city?
I mean, it's not like the city is like. Well, okay.
Can you tell me what city it is?
Is
he Clark Kent?
It's not Metropolis.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of what else to tell you. This is a pretty big hint, but so, you know, me being a lamppost, you know, I don't have lines in the movie, but Joel's character, especially in the scene that you might know, he not only talks, but vocalizes in a different way.
Oh, he's singing in the rain.
Yeah. So does that... does that description give it? Can you guess now?
Yeah. Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
I remember that
cool.
from college. Yeah. We took a film class. There was Singing in the Rain.
Oh, okay. What did you learn about it?
I don't know. I remember the professor kept saying that like everything was a metaphor for sex, and they were going up some like steps, and like the multiple steps represent multiple orgasms. But I can't remember if that was Singing in the Rain or a different movie. There was like two or three movies that we did that he like kind of crammed in there that were like musicals. And I can't remember if that was Singing in the Rain or a different one.
I mean, did you buy that? Like, did that make sense to you?
No, I didn't buy it.
Okay. I've only seen, you know, he just got really obsessed with that one, you know, famous scene. Like we would watch it on YouTube. And then I've seen like half of it. So I don't know. I can't really speak to that interpretation, but that didn't come through for me in my viewing of it.
All right.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I will say the dancing, and I guess the songs are like very good in this movie. Otherwise, it's not like amazing. I mean, it's fine, you know. You know, not like the best movie I've ever
seen.
Yeah,
I have no idea what it's about, really. I don't think I've seen.
Yeah, and like if you just knew what most people know, which is like that one scene, or even just like that one picture of him on the lamppost, you would not guess how like complicated the plot is.
Oh really?
I mean, it's not necessarily complicated, but it's just like so completely. It's about the main guy, played by Gene Kelly. He co-stars. It's set in the transition from silent movies to talkies.
What do you mean it's set?
And that's like the setting of the movie.
What do you mean?
Like that's when it takes place.
Okay, but that didn't happen in real life. Like that was, they had silent movies and they had talkies. Like, but think like society wasn't silent. There wasn't just like big title cards popping up on the street, you know?
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, I mean, before that, there was the transition from black and white to color.
Wait, before that?
And whatever, after that. Yeah, and you know, and everyone just like was in great, you know, great tone. And then after that, you could see red and stuff.
Well, maybe you could.
No, I mean, during the during the period of time during which movies were making this transition.
Okay, but like it didn't actually come out. When did it come out?
It came out in like 1950 around there.
Okay, so like 20 years, 15, 20 40, years later.
They're like 40s or 50s, I forget. So it's already a bit of like nostalgia, but it's one of these like, you know, Hollywood loves to make movies about Hollywood.
That's
like,
right.
That kind of thing.
That's right.
And so this guy, he's an actor, and he like the character is an actor, and he often co-stars with this other leading lady who's successful in silent movies, but she has this like super screechy annoying voice. So like they're like making a movie and they want to turn it into a talkie because those are really successful now, but like she can't sing. So then like they find this other woman who he like, you know, falls in love with, whatever. And she like, you know, basically ghost sings, or whatever the word would be. Like she provides the real singing voice, and this other lady who's the, you know, has been starring, she just lip syncs, whatever. And, you know, then there's
it's
some
like
drama
that,
about that.
Carly Rae Jepsen video with Tom Hanks.
I don't know.
Come on.
I don't know, man. What? Who's the singing voice? Tom Hanks?
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah. But then I guess you could say ironically, you know, I mean, part of the drama then is like this other woman who that's Diane. That's what she's dressed as, the woman who actually does the singing. You know, she's like upset. She's not getting credit or whatever, something about that. You know, I think it all works out in the end. But her singing voice in the movie is actually not that actress either. Like, when they were really making this movie, they actually didn't like her voice also, like in real life. And then they didn't credit the one who actually did the voice.
Wow, that's so meta.
So it's like, yeah, she must be like, wait, but isn't it like, didn't you just, wasn't that the whole point of the...
That's awesome.
Anyway.
Speaking of confusing plot, have you seen Tenet?
No. Did anyone?
Yeah, it's on streaming now.
Sure, okay. You know, thanks to Christopher Nolan for letting that happen.
It's pretty good. I thought it was good. It's...
Is it?
Yeah, no. Everyone acts like it's like the worst movie ever. The only problem with it is that sometimes you, for some reason, the audio, it's like hard to understand the dialogue. At first, like when I saw people saying this, I thought it was like a thing where like the, you know, things are happening in reverse. So like people are like, but no, it's just like fucking Robert Pattinson will say something and you're like, what the fuck did he just say? Like, I literally couldn't hear him.
What?
Yeah.
It was like when a review will describe a movie as dark and then they're like, no, literally.
Yeah. Like, and it's like, it's
hard to see.
Normally that's like, you know, there's just a little line of dialogue, you know, you can throw it out or like you can figure it out what they said later from context. But this is like, you know, everybody's always explaining like the mechanics of what's going on because, you know, you got to really be paying attention because people are going forward in time and backward in time and all that stuff. So like, I could see that causing an issue if you were watching it without subtitles.
Right.
But like, it's not
that's weird.
It's not that hard to follow or like,
yeah,
you know, I thought they did a good job.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it sounded, you know, like a pretty good movie. It's just like, you know, not, you know, he just really wanted everyone to see it on the big screen, and
well, yeah,
you know, well, too bad.
Well, I mean, if he wants everyone to do that, he should just do what all the other movies did and postpone it for 1 year.
Right. But yeah, I guess so. I mean, we're not all going to be vaccinated by then.
Sure.
I guess all the senior citizens can enjoy watching it in the theater.
Sure. I mean, but like, you know, like, you know, Warner Brothers or whatever, they're doing the HBO Max thing. But I think it's just because those movies are bad. Like Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
Bad.
I see. Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what everyone's saying.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see it. Yeah, I don't know. Also looked okay.
They're saying MGM's going to go out of business.
You think so?
I don't know. That's what they're saying, because they can't release the James Bond movie, they're going to run out of money.
How is it with these studios that they're always just like one movie away from completely going bankrupt?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's really expensive
like MGM,
to make.
You know,
them.
They've been around. Yeah, right.
You know, it's, I mean, like if it costs
1,000 years.
Yeah. But it, like, if it costs $100 million to make a movie, and then you gotta wait for it to come out, and then you're making, you know, $140 million. Like, okay, we made $40 million, right. But like, you know, it was expensive. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, if I were them, I would have $100 million in the bank before I made, or, you know, I'd have $200 million in the bank before I made one that costs $100 million.
Yeah, well.
So, you know, that just seems smart or prudent.
That's like the people who, like, you know, don't get any credit cards. I don't want to spend any money I don't have.
I mean, that makes sense too. I constantly bring up this SNL sketch of, you know, the money manager whose tip is don't buy things you cannot afford.
I haven't seen that one.
But yeah, it's like a bit older. Anyway, yeah, seems pretty reasonable to me.
Yeah, well, anyway. You know what?
I'm opting out of this economy, you know, that's my whole strategy.
Maybe they should be making you coach.
I mean, not really, but... All right, I think we need to take a break.
All right. You want to do a TikTok challenge when you come back?
I guess. Depends what it is.
All right.
Okay.
Something's brewing at D&D.
Wow!
Al Pacino!
It's not Al anymore. It's Dunk.
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do.
What's my name?
Dunkachino.
It's a whole new game.
Dunkachino.
You want creamy goodness? I'm your friend. Say hello to my chocolate blend. Attica, hoo-ah, Lucky Light. This whole trial is out of sight. They pull me back in with hazelnut too. Caramel swirl, I know it was you. Everyone wants my Dunkachino. Can't get enough of my Dunkachino. Kids from 7 to 17 lining up for my Dunkachino. What's my name?
Dunkachino.
I dunk a dunk a dunk a dunk a Dunkachino.
I really wanna stop, but I just got the taste for it. I feel like I could fly with the boy on the moon. So honey, hold my hand, you like making me wait for it. I feel like I could die walking up to the room. Oh yeah. Late night watching television, but how we get in this position is way too soon. I know this isn't love, but I need to tell you something.
All right, we're back. Hello, Ben and Vince Show.
Hello.
Ben, do you have a Provel take?
I've heard about it. It sounds insane and bad. is it better or worse than like Cheese Whiz?
Better.
It's better than Cheese Whiz.
Better, okay.
Or at least to put on pizza. I don't know about like a cheesesteak. Then I would go Cheese Whiz.
Is it better or worse than like that Bluebell cheese that you used to eat as a 6-year-old?
I enjoy Bluebell now.
Wait,
I also enjoy Bluebell now.
Yeah, okay.
Wait, I thought that was ice cream.
Oh, I have no idea.
Is Bluebell not ice
Maybe
cream?
Maybe I'm getting the name wrong.
Yeah.
Babybel.
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 I like those
Babybel.
Are those the little circles?
Yeah,
those are good.
You had a sophisticated 6-year-old palate if you were eating those.
Okay, what about the ones that would come with the like breadsticks in a pack? You know, there's like one compartment for cheese, one for the breadsticks.
It's better than those.
Oh. Where there's like a little plastic thing that you have to spread it with?
Yeah.
Oh, the sticks, like the cracker sticks.
Yeah.
Better.
Better, okay.
What I was still supposed to do, though, for full disclosure.
Is it, like, legally classifiable as cheese, or is it a cheese food product?
Mm.
It is definitely bricky.
What does that mean?
It, like, looks like a brick when you get it in its purest form.
I feel like that's not the right way to describe this.
It is brick. They just melt like that.
You can get a brick of cheddar, or brick of... You know, Colby Jack.
All
right, guys, we're gonna go eat dinner.
All right.
Bye.
Cool. All right. Thanks for calling.
All right. Anything else? Are we doing a challenge?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, okay. I know you don't have a lot of time, so I'll try to set this up.
Okay.
So this was from a while ago. I don't know. Maybe we should just save it for next time. We'll do it. Okay. We teased it, so we'll do it. All right. So this is from a while. This video went viral, so you may or may not have seen it a while ago. For those of you watching on the Twitch stream, I'll put it up on the screen for you. basically, there's these two girls. They look like they're about 15. They're in, I don't know, some room. And they're basically, the way this is set up is there's a line. There's a dotted line going straight down the middle of the screen. And on the left side of the screen, it says no. And on the right side of the screen, it says don't know. And so they're supposed to move their face, you know, to one side of the screen or the other, depending on whether they know or don't know each song that's going to play. There's going to be like 10 songs. And so, Ben, what I want you to do, I'm going to play the songs.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to, you're going to move, but, you know, we're not going to be able to see you because we're watching the video. So just say yes or no.
Right.
But there's only a minute total, so you only got like 6 seconds to decide whether you know or don't know each song.
I'm going to completely fail, but yeah.
We're going to see how many you can get out of 10. And you don't have to know like all the words or whatever. Just like, is this song familiar to you?
Right.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
Dog John.
Yeah, I know that.
There you go. They don't know it.
Really?
Oh, this one.
Don't know.
Don't know this one?
No.
Alright. Oh, this one.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
Alright, okay. Yes, no?
Yeah, that sounds familiar. I don't quite remember it, though.
Okay, this one? Oh, gotta go quick.
Yeah, I remember this one.
All right.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
Okay. Oh, my God. All right, so what'd you get, 4 or 5?
Oh, I wasn't counting.
I lost track. Yeah, I know there was like a couple you didn't vote on.
So that means I didn't know.
All right. So if you were watching on Twitch, you saw that the girls didn't know any of them.
Oh, wow. Is this because, these songs are all from
I mean, they're all from like, I don't know, 2000 to 2010 or something.
Right.
But like, that's kind of nuts, right? Like, it's not that long ago.
Yeah, right. I feel like, there's like a canon of songs, from like 60s, 70s, 80s that people kind of know. But is there such a similar thing for like 2000s?
Right. And I mean, if you think about it, like they're like 15, right? Or they look 15. So like, I mean, they would have been what? Elementary school, middle school during that time. Yeah. I feel like we should know songs.
Yeah.
Or wait, is that right? 4, 15? Oh, no. I mean, they would have been -5 to +5.
Yeah. Right.
So, okay, so pre-elementary school.
Yeah.
All right.
I guess, maybe in the next 5 years, they'll learn some of these.
Right. Well, okay. So what I did to prove to myself if this is like, if they should be shamed for not knowing any of them or like, so a lot of people thought they were just trolling, So I went and I looked like for our age, what would be the equivalent songs for us? And I'm not sure. I think they may have only been sampling off of like the R&B hip hop genre.
Yeah.
But so I didn't do that. I just found whichever songs from like the equivalent year ended up in the equivalent chart position. And I want to say I knew maybe, I definitely, first of all, I knew all the ones in the TikTok. Like,
sure.
You got to know, I mean, Let It Burn, All the Lights.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm you know, I'm pretty lame about popular music, so that's not surprising that I didn't get all of them, but yeah.
All right, I'm not going to play, because I didn't queue up, like, a nice one where I play 6 seconds of each one, but pick a number between 1 and 10, and I'll pull one out.
4.
Okay. This song, you probably know this song. I think this was in a movie. All right, here we go. Song number 4.
Yeah, it kind of sounds familiar.
What movie was this in?
I don't know.
Shrek? No, that was Smash Mouth.
Yeah. It sounds kind of familiar, but I don't feel like I really know it.
One of the comments on YouTube says, I committed tax fraud while listening to this song back in 99.
Good one. So what is this one?
Here comes the title. It's Faith by George Michael.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Alright, here, that was one of the ones that I knew. Okay, here's one that you would definitely know.
Okay.
Tell me when you know it.
This is not Michael Jackson, right?
Close.
Not really. Jackson?
Not close.
Yeah.
I gotta say, in general, I'm not into like 80s, 90s music. This time period, I feel like there was just a lot of crap in there. This is good though. But it's like, it succeeds despite the genre of the time. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I don't.
Here it comes. Come on, you don't know this?
I've heard this.
There you go.
I don't know the name though.
It's Whitney Houston.
Oh. What's the name of it?
I Wanna Dance With Somebody.
Yeah, I've definitely heard that, but you know. That obviously cannot identify.
Anyway, yeah, so that's like the most recognizable one, and then there's like the most recent song that's on my list here is "In the House of Stone and Light" by Martin Page.
Oof.
Yeah, like I feel like there's all these songs come out, and like certain ones, I don't know what determines a song that like endures, that like people you know, you hear on the radio and like at clubs or whatever, bars or in stores at the mall, the grocery store and shit. Whereas like, you know, some songs are like, wow, this was the 15th most popular song of 1997 and nobody ever listened to it from 1998 on.
You know what it is that distinguishes it? The X Factor.
Like Simon Cowell?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, that's a great point. I would love to discuss that further, actually, but I kind of have to go.
Me too.
I'm sorry to cut it short, but yeah, maybe we can talk about that next time.
Yeah, all right.
But yeah.
All that and more next time on Ben and Vince.
So long.